landscape architect. I'm going to talk about the design of the park, and then Inga, with the engineers, she's going to talk about the infrastructure and that portion of it. Everyone, I believe, is aware of the two original concepts that we created and then had public meetings for public input. After that, those meetings, we went ahead and reviewed all that information, and it was posted stickers from the public. There were city council comments on one document, indicating preferences, etc. And the entire park design, from my perspective, is a master plan blueprint that more than likely will get built in phases. With the comments from the public, there was a strong complaint about the fact that there's a bird designation for part of the waterfront, and the interaction of potentially loud sports versus somebody who just wants to walk along the beach. With the design that we created, all of the use areas, the pickleball courts, the basketball court, we tried to temper some of that interaction by having native landscaping, hardy plants that would grow well and start to provide a buffer from those activities. The pump track is a relatively quiet sport. With the pickleball courts on the west side, there's an existing mound, and it tails all the way across the more northern edge of the water edge. My understanding is that that was a lot of debris that came from the shore when the riprap from the shore edge got replaced by a natural beach. And when I first looked at the site, I really wanted to get rid of that mound, because if you're standing around the parking area, you can't see the water at all because of the mound. But because of that conflict between, quote, the birders and the public who is more interested in using those facilities, it really made sense to keep it. So for the pickleball court, we have a gabion wall on one edge of it, and then we added additional plantings. Same with the basketball court. Picnic areas for both areas, all three areas with the pump track. The pump track accommodates young kids with an easy course, and more advanced kids or young 20-year-old, 30-year-old. In Bellingham, it's often a family affair.
Yeah, it is similar to the pump track now.
On the monument area, where you have the existing salmon wall and the orca whale sculptures, that's where we decided just a small splash park made sense. It's typically young kids with their parents often. And again, we provided some screening for that. The parking, I had honestly had never heard of back-end parking, and once you look it up, it's amazingly safer than what we've all been used to in most locations. With the to the north of it, there's area for food carts, whether it's a drivable vehicle or someone bringing a trailer in. And then at the other end of the parking lot, there's us. Well, actually, it's a little bit, it's not in there, but there's an area for tents, 10 by 10 or 12 by 12 tents for somebody who just wants to set up a table and bring whatever they'd like to sell for different festivals. There was a comment about a portable stage. In my mind, one approach could be to provide the utilities that are necessary, potentially some actually put lighting there, and definitely electricity, so that it can be used that way. One option is to actually just rent a stage whenever there is an event, instead of having the city own a stage that has to be stored and maneuvered, etc. Bellingham had a really nice design for a smaller stage in Cordata Park, and it's a concrete structure with steps, but then it also has a built-in ramp for folks with disability needs. And then it had no roof, but it had a metal structure up there, and I just kept staring at it. And I have a friend who works with the Parks Department, and I said, the more I looked at that, I feel that there's a canvas that gets put up. And he said, it is. It's just for the summertime to provide shade for whoever the entertainers are.
So then you do have provision for that in this design?
Yeah, and yes. And all the, Inga's going to be talking next about all the infrastructure components. A lot of the site furnishings, there's been a discussion between Birch Bay and Blaine, different officials, about trying to get some consistency in the park selection of furnishings, tables, benches, instead of always reinventing the wheel. When we did the pocket parks, which are on hold for now on Portal Way, those same elements would be repeated here. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a few. In terms of the total estimated cost, I guess this is for Mr. Harmon, what's our proposed budget? And then where are the sources coming from? Grants, bonds, or the CIP?
Great question. That's right. So right now we don't have a budget for Marine Park other than design. Mm-hmm. Let me just take this off and talk about the proposed cost, and I think Inga's going to get to this in a second and walk through that, is around $3.8 million for everything that you see in this picture. My understanding is this concept got started when council was first exploring the sale of the skate park as an alternative to replace the skate park. My recommendation to council is if we were going to build something like that, it would have to be built through a combination of grants, donations, perhaps the sale of the land that we have in downtown, sponsorships. Boy, I'm going to just turn that off. There. Sponsorships and other things. Thank you. Because right now in our park fund, off the top of my head, we've got hundreds of thousands, $350,000, $400,000, and that is for all of the parks and all of Blaine. We certainly don't have $3.8 million. Now, another idea that was raised is we could borrow and then look at the visitors' money, the hotel-motel tax, to pay some of the debt associated with this. That would mean redirecting funds from the visitor center to a debt service to support Marine Park. So that is an option for council. So any path forward to funding this, I think, would have to be multifaceted through a number of things, just depending on if and when council wanted to build the park.
So at this point, the purpose of this is What would we like to do if we could and have that available on file? Is that basically what this is?
Deputy Mayor.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct. So council directed us to bring you a marine park master plan. So if you like the concept that's before you, you could do a variety of things. You could say, staff, thank you very much. We've got a plan. Traffic at the border's down 50%. Let's talk in a year or two, right? You could say, staff, we want to see this, all of it, in the budget in 2026. You could say, staff, go find sponsorships, and once you've got $1 million in kind or grant, let's come back. So, you know, it's really a variety of options you could take, but that's the purpose is, are you happy with the concept that's in front of you? Do you want to make any changes? And then what's your direction to staff to move forward, if any?
So I have a question. How flexible is this going to be if it's done in the present plan that you've done? In other words, if it was so that it could be used at some point for a larger event versus a fixed event like the bike park, it would be more useful to the city, and that would mean maybe having things like pickleball nets, pickleball poles taken down and moved away for an event. I'm then concerned if you're planting vegetation, that's going to limit, and maybe that's for Inga to answer, but that's going to limit having a big wide open thing like the games, the Scottish games. So I think it's more useful to the city if it can be dual purpose or multi-purpose. That's my only comment. And I'm concerned about fixed basketball courts, fixed vegetation, meaning that that will not be possible.
Understood.
Would that kind of flexibility change this whole design, or would that be in just a notation that in the next step, when the engineers are talking about actually implementing this, they would be the ones who would have to make sure that what she described was possible?
It would definitely be a concerted, combined effort.
So if we wanted that kind of flexibility, your stage should make that more clear in these in these kind of plans?
I mean, the planting comment is a good one. The pickleball flexibility is easy and doesn't require any changes. The stage would be useful for the pilot games. The pump track would be a fixed facility. There was talk about that it would be paved.
But you could still have something, a games, over a paved area where it's paved and grass and paved and grass. You could still, as long as it was a big enough area to encompass whatever event was being held down there.
Correct. Even just combining the pickleball space volume with from there over to the pump track, that becomes a nice piece of land for focus of a larger event. The tossing, everything else.
So people can stand on the part of the pump track that is closest to pickleball courts, like that's an upper area?
Use it as a viewing area.
Yeah, so people could be all standing on that looking at something in the center area?
Yeah.
I just had a quick question when it comes to the design. Do we know whether or not the design includes utility hookups, specifically power and water for where the food trucks are?
It does. And Amy's going to take over.
Maybe it's a good time.
Amy, sure. Sure. End of this.
Civil improvements are that we expect for this project. the main grading and site preparation for all of the, you know, park features, for the ball courts, basketball courts, that's fairly level, and then parking lot. Pump track is a little bit of an interesting one because you bring in special soil, although it sounds like we're going to consider paving it, and that's included in the cost, and create features for people to ride on. And then all of the utilities, of course, that serve those park features. So those include sanitary sewer, serve a bathroom facility, because there was a bathroom plan for this. Water, so water would also be brought in, and all, unfortunately, this is a main city street, so all the utilities are out on the street. There would be stormwater. This project would meet the stormwater requirements by putting in collection system, stormwater treatment system for any surfaces that are considered pollution generating, which the parking lot, the driveways, and then that would get conveyed to a discharge location into the water body after treatment, so meeting all current requirements for stormwater, so that's another utility. Then the dry utilities would include hookups, so power, lighting would be included, you know, for safety, for...
And late in the game, followers were added to the main waterside walkway.
Correct. Yeah, we have a picture in here of an example bollard that would be lighted. Lighting would be at the bathrooms, the restroom facility. There would be the utilities for each vendor area. There would be power and lighting at the stage, or the stage area brought there for use. So all of that was considered in the project, in our cost estimate. And then we took all of that and tried to break it down based on, you know, the big picture that we're looking at. But also to be used, as we've talked about, is that this project likely will need to be or want to be phased based on funding. And I think that it lends itself really well to phasing based on, you know, fundraising activities, budgeting. There's a lot of good opportunities. As engineers, you know, we typically need to see an infrastructure investment up front. So some of those infrastructure needs phase to plan for the other elements of the park. For instance, stubbing out water and sewer, and planning at least for the stormwater facilities. So if you just make an improved part of the parking lot, say half of the parking lot, do both driveways and pave half of it, and then do the second half with a later phase, you want to still plan your improvements so you're not tearing up the road. So we would definitely, I think phasing is a great way to accomplish this. So I think if there's other...
In terms of the major activity areas, the ball court, pump track, basketball court,
yep,
splash pad, what did we have in mind for first? Like, what would be the first activity zone? Would we look to do ball courts first, pump track first?
We're open to anything. That's why we're here tonight is, you know, council could say, we don't want pickleball, we only want volleyball. Staff, go build volleyball. You could give us any direction that you want, and, you know, or none. Like I said, we border traffic's down 50%. You could say, let's wait until we see if there's going to be any grant funds out there for a project like this. We don't have a construction plan. That's the input we're looking for from council on, do you want to build it, how fast, and when?
So Council Member Hurt is send some information regarding input from some students, for example, leadership. I don't know if you've received that yourself, but the pump track and pickleball seem to be lower on the choices there. Just passing that information on, if that's true and if it bears out, then obviously that's going to have an effect on my decision, my vote. Let me say that I feel that the mayor's comments are pretty apt as far as flexibility goes. Let me ask you about the stage. When you say portable, originally I thought there was a fixed performance area. I know a few months back we all came and there's a map out here. We put some post-its on there. Well, where is that located now?
It's in the same location, but someone, I thought it was a city council person, but there was a comment that said it needs to be a portable stage.
You know, the history of that stage is it's never been used for anything, anybody, and it needs to go. That's one of the things that has to happen.
Are you talking about the amphitheater now by the
end? It's never used. They had a big fundraiser, and they had people playing in the amphitheater, and there wasn't a soul in the amphitheater. They were all down at the other end. It's just a waste of space.
Understood. So, absolutely. No question. So, as far as personally I'm concerned, that specific amphitheater, and maybe even a fixed amphitheater, does not need to exist. What I personally would love to see is, when it comes to this portable stage, having a cover. It's got to have overhead, absolutely must have overhead, and in a decent capacity. What are your comments to maybe possibly have that happen?
That's very doable. And I thought that location was where the music was set up for the Highland Games when they were here. I could be wrong.
I wasn't there, so I
didn't. And I think the comments from mostly staff, I guess, was that, yes, the existing amphitheater just needs to disappear. Probably save the benches and maybe use them somewhere else. But the acoustics are terrible.
So absolutely. So buy an amphitheater. Now replacement. It's an effective covered replacement that can have a decent capacity, I think, really needs to happen.
So the amphitheater, some of why no one ever goes there is because of its location. There, it's possible to locate a permanent stage-type structure in a place that is more welcoming than where that is located. People just can't find it. So if you look at the one of our plazas here, we've got a sort of a mock stage that's not that committed a stage, but it can be a stage at any given moment because there's the tiered seating and then the raised part. But the rest of the time, it can be used for all sorts of other things. That's that flexibility that the mayor was talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's my two cents when it comes to what I'm seeing here. Of course, for events, flexibility, being able to break down courts is going to be important. You guys will figure that out. But seriously, the performance space, I blame, really does need it. Yes, I agree. No argument. Amphitheater, the way that it is, awful.
High on the students' list was a place to watch movies. They said the amphitheater for movie watching. So any portable device you recommend, I would like to see it able to accommodate projections.
I've seen inflatable motion picture screens. It's just like a bouncy house kind of a thing that just they blow it up and just screen. I don't recall what Jen and Leah have been using in their little
party.
Okay. But when you're talking about a mobile stage there, you got to look at what's the cost of maintaining and the lifespan of that versus when there's a special event one or two times a year, getting a professional company paying the rental fee, they come and they bust out the whole thing and then they take it all away at the end. It might actually cost less than the city owning something that we are constantly worried is sitting out there in the weather, even getting worn out.
No, I agree. You can have it different locations within the park too. You can have the Peace Arch in the background, you can have
whatever it's in, as a background. Yes. Different sizes, different. So.
Yes.
It's nice to leave it flexible, like you're saying, but provide the power that would be necessary in any of the, you know, technology that we that could serve the park. And then in different seasons, it'd be you could arrange the screen to the best viewing.
Just want to be clear. Did I mention overhead? I did. And then, yeah, overhead.
So a question I have is the location that we have right now, does that not make sense for a stage area? Because one option might be to cover the pickleball courts or basketball, though the pickleball makes maybe better sense because it already has a backdrop. And that should be.
Great. So would you be open sometime in the near future to meeting with performers, for example, who like, great, awesome, let's see if we can do that.
The pickleball course, you know, I understand, like, you could remove a bunch of things, and it's basically just a paved area, and you know, I'm sure we might have some little thing that can go into the holes to stop people from tripping on them, but so that seems flexible. I do have a question for staff and for y'all about pump track, because there's people who like pump tracks, some of them are just sworn it's got to be dirt, and there's pros and cons for dirt and you know, concrete, asphalt, all the various. So have we gotten feedback from the local people who would be inclined to use this? Like, how much feedback have we gotten from whoever lives nearby who wants a pump track? Have they specified what surface they want? And has that been weighed against? I'm presuming you're even talking about some of these other surfaces because of the difficulty for maintenance or the expense of putting it in. My understanding is it's more expensive to put in asphalt than some of these hard surfaces because you have to do all the excavating, grading, and making sure it's suitable so it's not going to crack later. Whereas dirt, we are in a rainy climate. There's a lot of upkeep on that. So what have you got regarding? Feedback from the type of people who might be using it.
So we're not there yet, right? That'll come as part of the design process if we get there. However, I want to remind, we're near the shoreline, and so staff are very, very hesitant to have a dirt track right next to the shoreline because of the runoff and erosion that can happen in the bay. And for those reasons, we've leaned toward paving it. Also the upkeep, right? As folks use it in the winter, if we're not down there running it up, et cetera, staff to go down and try to reshape that dirt track, that's just not a skill set that we're in or have right now.
Yeah, we don't make ourselves have to have a maintenance thing for everywhere, but it's much more expensive to do the hard surface, right, because of the way you have to prepare the land?
Yeah, initially it is. Yeah.
And you're talking about like an asphalt surface.
Asphalt's the most logical.
Oh, we don't want to create something that nobody uses because you did asphalt, and we can't do that because it's too dangerous when I fall. So we really need to know.
Well, we don't even know this second.
No, not right now. But before
there are a number of pump tracks that are asphalt. Okay, these aren't uniforms. Yeah. There are a number of them that are asphalt. And yeah, if you direct us to design a pump track, then we'll explore those options.
Okay. So I'm sorry, Richard. Were you done with
the
question? Sorry. So what's the square footage or acreage that we were talking about that we're designing or redesigning here?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, yeah, the entire central area is about just over 2 acres.
You're talking about the whole area?
Everything that's on this little graphic is 2 acres?
Yes. Well, not everything, just the internal area to the park. There's like a little, it's hard to describe, there's a little berm that goes around that's like half a trapezoid or so.
So that area, that central park area is 2 acres, and then the smaller percentage that we're going to develop inside, so less than an acre probably, because it looks like half-ish.
Well, no, just to clarify, it is about 2 acres, and then there's that does not include like the trail around the perimeter or the, you know, the existing picnic shelters or anything like that. So we have about 2 acres to work with.
That they're redesigning.
Correct.
Okay, two acres. And do we have to get permission or have the port sign off on this? Since is any of this part of Bellingham's
no.
stuff? Okay.
So. I'd like to ask about the pickleball courts. Hopefully you looked at the email I sent you about the student survey. When the students were asked what they wanted, they rated a volleyball court four times as often as a pump track, and four times, twice as much as a pickleball court. So is it possible that half of that pickleball court could be turned back into volleyball courts like we initially were looking at? So we could have some pickleball and then still have the volleyball?
Deputy Mayor. Absolutely. Anything, you know, these folks will redesign it as much as we want to pay them to redesign it, okay? But I also remind you, we're designing it for the community, not just the youth. And we have a lot of folks in this community that play pickleball that were not part of that survey, that may disagree or think
they've got lots of other places to play pickleball. They've got Parks and Rec, they've got the pavilion, they've got the school, and all the parents I've spoken to, they always say, we need activities for our youth. So it was my impression that one of the big reasons we're doing this is for the youth. So we need to consider what they want. Otherwise, I'm still going to have people coming to me. It's like, you're not doing a damn thing for the kids.
Yeah, you're always going to have people come to you with complaints. But I mean, I think a diversity and stuff, for lack of a better word, is important. There's no reason we couldn't have, I don't know, as many pickleball courts as we have now, shave a little bit off something else and have a volleyball pit. I mean, a volleyball pit isn't the size of a football field. So I'm not sure why it's something to get too upset about this early. I think that's getting into the weeds. Mike, you've probably seen or done these kind of bigger projects before. If we had funding today, right, and we obviously don't, but if we had funding today and could start building in phases, right? We obviously are not going to spend the whole $3.8 million in 90 days,
yeah.
But build it in phases. What's a realistic time frame to get something like this built? If it was completely designed today and everybody was like, yeah, let's do this.
Deputy Mayor, when I was in Spearfish City Manager, we built pickleball courts. We built 8 courts, fenced them, and we started with raw land. And that can be done in a couple, 3 months. Funding ready to go, assuming we have a bid package ready to go, we get it out in April or May, you'd be playing pickleball by August pretty easily.
But you know, that would be pickleball, and then pump track would be an addition. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm looking at phases over years, right? Because you're not going to want to do a lot of stuff in the wintertime necessarily, or maybe you can, I don't know. But are you seeing a realistic time frame would be less than 3 years?
Yeah. If we had money, yeah, absolutely. We could build this park in less than 3 years.
Or even less than that.
Yeah, and that's assuming we've got, you know, we're subject to the same shoreline permits and processes that others are. So assuming we've got all the permits in hand, yeah, you could construct it.
Well, I know we're not voting right now, or if we're going to even discuss it during the regular meeting, but I would be all for putting some sort of subcommittee to the Parks Board together with, you know, maybe a member of council, some member of the Parks Board, some people out in the community, and kind of brainstorming. You know, if this is what we want, or if we want to tweak stuff a little bit, because I mean, you guys are obviously very professional what you do, but then we're gonna want to tweak it and then give it back to you for, you know, final planning. I think sooner than later would be great, because we'd be talking about this in 20 years, or we could, you know, kind of get on it sooner than later. And then as part of that committee, I really want us to start looking at funding like on day one.
Yeah, great idea.
Because this is a lot of money, you know, and this is a lot of money for like fun stuff. We don't have a lot of fun stuff money. So I think that's got to be kind of toward the top of that group's list. So,
yep.
Anyway, well,
agreed.
Jimmy Sorrell said that funding was highly likely for the pump track, so it's possible that might be the first one that we get funding for.
Right, and then the other $3.6 million we'd have to find somewhere, so.
Did you say that all the infrastructure has to go in before?
Not necessarily every single piece, but you do have to plan for it. So you want to be just strategic about installing it ahead of something that needs to go on top of it. Yeah, so that we can phase it, but there's going to be things, and this is pretty common in a planned development of any kind, you know, commercial, school, residential, where you have to make an investment kind of up front to do the underground work and stub out your utilities to serve those future amenities. So that would be something that we definitely help plan for, and you don't have to spend all the design money up front either, but you have to plan it.
And would that be covered by grant money, possibly? I don't know.
Deputy Mayor.
It depends. We may be able to get a legislative appropriation. Things are drying up there too. We may be able to look to EDI. This has a tremendous economic benefit at Bellingham. I forget who was visiting with me, but when these tracks open up, they're just very popular. I've not been to trackside in Bellingham, but I'm told that they're very, very popular. So maybe there's some EDI dollars out there to design. Don't know, but we won't know until we look.
I'm generally inclined to ask staff to approach this from a perspective of build that which can be funded, and that would part of that would set some of the timeline for this, because earlier you said you probably need some direction from council. Is this something we just want to take this design and know that we have it and put it one side until finances are better? But then I'm hearing a lot of things about outside funding and grants and stuff. So my position on this is that we, you know, this provisionally would be, if their money is there to do parts of it, then get those phases going, and if they're not, then this would be filed in our. This is what we'd like to do if we had the money filed.
Deputy Mayor, I would ask council, and you probably aren't going to get an answer tonight, but at least think about and perhaps talk. Are we interested in something like the Phillips 66 pump track? Right? Are we open to those types of things where Phillips 66 or Peace Health or whomsoever would like to have some sponsorship or naming rights? Because those could be an option for us to pursue.
Would you like a sense of the council here? This looks like we're in a study session, so we can't actually perform an action item here, but are you wanting some feedback and a sense of where the council is at on these kinds of things right
I'm
now?
Seeing some heads go yes.
So yeah, I'm not real interested in having the Phillips 66 contract in Blaine.
I wouldn't be opposed to having a health facility like myself.
I don't care where the money comes from or who it's relying on.
Yeah, I'm all for any and all private sponsorship for playgrounds, art installations, all that. So.
Kind of a mixed bag is what I'm getting.
I think perhaps what might happen is the council would like to approve which kind of sponsor is, just in case it's a sponsor that we don't feel fits into the values of the city, or that might be what somebody thinks.
Right.
I'm open to some sponsorships or whatever, but there's some sponsors that perhaps the majority of this council would say, but not them.
Well, yeah. Whoever gives us the grant, and if it's a significant grant, they're going to expect to have their name on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can't remember if it was Trek that was the bike company that Jiggy Sorrell was working with, but.
So dollar-wise for this initial investment for these utility spots, what kind of dollar amount are we looking at to get that started so we can be at, like, I don't know, I guess phase one of this?
That's sort of a calculation
yeah.
needs to be.
If you have a lag, great. If you don't, then that's fine too.
Because we
yeah. If you don't have a lag, just say you don't have a lag.
We
just
don't, because we
okay.
didn't
that's
break
fine.
It up in phasing. We,
yeah, that's fine.
You could roughly look at each of the elements that we did break it up into and do some, at least approximation for that
yeah.
kind of, and if you just included all the underground utilities mm-hmm. in that, that'd give you an idea. I mean, does that sound reasonable?
Deputy Mayor. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds reasonable. To give you an idea, downtown project, similar cost. Just to mobilize the contractors, $250,000. Okay, just to get them and their equipment on site is $250,000. So that will kind of put things in perspective. And the more times we do that on a project, incrementally those projects get more expensive. So
it's better to aggregate all the funding and make it, because there's an economy of scale of setting up and tearing down.
There is. We should build what, you know, to the extent we can afford it. But to Councilmember Davidson's point, his money isn't falling from the tree right now, you know, with border traffic the way it is.
And since this is public land, it's the Blaine land, can the utilities do a lot of this work themselves as opposed to, not, I mean, obviously not build a pump track, but can the public utilities and our electrical department do a lot of that as well instead of bringing in contractors? Or is that, I mean, I know we're not equipped, I know we're not, we don't have the people that could just willy-nilly take time to do that, but is that something that's possible?
Deputy Mayor. If there are multiple trades involved, we can do up to $150,000 worth of work, which isn't a lot. But that's the answer is yes. And it's actually, we can do a lot of that ourselves and installation of the utilities, but we're limited by state law to $150,000 of work.
Is that total or per job?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
If we know, if we're certain that we're going to build future phases, then we need to look at the total cost of those future phases. If we know that we're only going to do one phase and we don't know that we're going to do future phases, then we can look at that phase individually.
Okay.
So there's some administrative flexibility as to how that total is kept under?
Yes, there's some creativity that can be applied there, but has to pass the auditor's test.
Well, I mean, it could pass the auditor's test, and we still might not have the crew to be able to do it because they got to make sure that all our lights stay on and stuff.
Yeah.
But it is, I think, an option to look at, because I would rather pay our electric crew to do it than ABC Construction, so.
Yep. With proper planning, it can certainly be done.
All right. Well, if there's no further questions, we'll go ahead and close out. Thank you both.
Did you guys have anything else? I'm sorry. It felt like we cut you off pretty much the whole time. So.
No problem, yeah.
Thank you.
If there's any
follow-up. Thank you so much.
Deputy Mayor, if I could.
I'm sorry. I just, and I wanted to make sure I get your contact information to have Lane Community Theater get a hold of you ASAP.
Okay.
Okay, great.
I'll share it.
I'll give you.
Great, thank you.
All right, thank you.
We talked about a couple things tonight, one being a subcommittee. Is that something the council would like to see on a future agenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even if this is just going to be shelved and put into the wish list file, I think that a lot more community input on what is or is not, you know, Councilmember Hurt brought up that some of the things that we may have thought were popular with some people might not be popular with others. It would be good to get a lot more thought into exactly what the people of this area wish to be in this project so that we're not building something that nobody will enjoy.
Okay, well, we'll look at putting that on the next agenda, and then from there, that subcommittee, perhaps financing can be number one on their agenda, or certainly a major part of their agenda on how we approach that. Okay, thank you.
Can we have the Port of Bellingham update right now?
Board is in the room.
I am. Who can I give my thumb drive to? It's running technology.
Sam.
Okay. Are we allowed to plug that in?
I didn't hear it earlier. I don't know what it's that
like. My apologies. I thought I was getting here early enough to get
that started.
Sorry, but while he's attempting to start that, I'll introduce myself, Tiffany DeSimone. My regular duties are Director of Maritime for the Port of Bellingham. I've been with the Port for about 2 years. I'm currently acting as
Interim right
Executive Director during a transition. So I've got two roles right now. But this was scheduled before I started that role, which was about 2 weeks ago. And it's a bit of a roadshow that I was planning, trying to get out in the community and talk about specifically about the Bellingham Shipping Terminal. So that's what I'm here specifically to talk about. I can probably field a host of other questions. And if I can't answer those today, then I will certainly jot down the questions and get back to you. This initially started, you may or may not be aware of the shipping terminal business. We had ABC Recycling down there and it caused some stir. And what we understood during that time was the community at large didn't have a good understanding of what the long-term planning was like for a shipping terminal. And what we recognized was that that sort of activity wasn't one that the community was willing to entertain. And we learned that a bit the hard way. And so we've relooked at the process. The shipping terminal always was planned on being redeveloped. It never was not going to be redeveloped. But we didn't talk about it for a long time because we weren't making large infrastructure improvements during that time. Right now, we, the port, use the shipping terminal as probably our asset most capable of bringing in additional revenue. And that really ties back to the community, that revenue that can be, that revenue can be reinvested into the community. What that means, before I start the presentation, what that means, I think, for Blaine, is that marine industrial area redevelopment, the cleanup, the boat yard, sort of all of that area. Having an asset that is earning revenue allows us to reinvest. And so we're getting out, we're talking about it, fielding questions, trying to take feedback, but also looking for your support as we work through reactivating this asset.
What were the concerns of the community that they didn't want to have the shipping?
I don't think it was that they didn't want to have shipping, because what we did hear was the community at large supports our ILW Longshore Union. They didn't appreciate the noise impact, and what the port learned was that ABC wasn't partner in it, so there were some things that they weren't complying with in their lease, and we held them accountable to that. So we do expect our tenants to stand true to their contracts. So those are the things we learned. I don't think it's that people didn't want shipping, but I think
it's not like they were concerned that more ship traffic would endanger the orcas, or
we did not hear that feedback. Yeah. So I will.
Well, unfortunately, we're not. I'm going to have to next slide.
Okay,
I'll just give you the
slide.
Cue.
All right. So before I start talking about the shipping terminal to the public, I like to show people where the shipping terminal is. I was born and raised in Whatcom County, and so I'm very familiar with the area. I spent a lot of time working down there. But what I recognized was it kind of all gets lobbed into one area. So what I'm talking about today is that area in the with the green dots. That is the shipping terminal. This gives a little bit of perspective. Those are the two warehouses that you see down on the waterfront as you pass through. And next slide. So this presentation is sort of a five-year transition of the Bellingham Shipping Terminal and what it looks like. What we know is we're doing a lot of capital investment down there, which hasn't been done in some years. So we currently have a $49.5 million project that's federally funded. Those funds remain intact, and we are continuing with the project. And so investing in this infrastructure is really our current best opportunity for economic development, for jobs outside of the shipping terminal. There's indirect benefits, as well as revenue for reinvesting into the community. So it falls into, this presentation goes kind of into these five project goals. So we're working on modernizing aging infrastructure. We're cleaning up historic contamination from previous tenants. We are working to connect the Bellingham Shipping Terminal to regions of the world by a rail grant. We also received a $17.8 million federal rail grant. We're looking to support sustainable economic growth and family wage jobs. We know that the cost continues to grow, and family wage jobs are important. And we'd like to also use the asset to ensure resilience against climate impacts. Next slide. You'll see that dot on the bottom is sort of the timeline, so it explains the years. So right now it's 25 and we're working to modernize it. That's actually a current photo. So the big green or blue box is where we took off the dock and we're replacing. It's a huge project and I really love people if they call and ask for a tour because we would love to show you. It's really impressive to get down there and be next to it and see really the scale of the project. So we welcome you to come down. We did have an open house. We had about 75 people. And I think it goes a long way to getting people to understand. Next slide. Oh yeah, so this just shows a flyover. I'm trying to give people the experience of being down there so you have a concept of the scale of the project. So that barge that you see there, the blue and white barge, is the Hannah. It's a fish processing barge. They're kind of fish processing disruptors in the industry. That's 100 by 400. So that kind of shows you the scale of what the docks are down there. And then in this flyover, you'll see the cleanups that have been done, that are being done, and then on the other end of the waterway that will be done, and I'll show you another flyover of that in the coming slide. Next slide. So by some of the things we're doing to modernize, we're improving navigational challenges. There has been sediment deposits since that's been put in there, so we're working on returning that to 35 feet of operational depth.
Has there been any environmental group pushback on the dredging out to lower it?
Yeah, no, we have not, because everything goes through ecology. So this is already a permitted project. We've already answered those questions. We've received consent from our Lummi tribal partners. And so at this point, all the considerations and concerns have been addressed. Yeah. We're working on shore power installation. We have a $2.8 million grant that will enable us to increase power capacity at the docks. That grant is also still intact. Let's see, this one is, we're looking at exploring different ways of moving cargo. So I won't go deep into moving bulk cargo, but we feel like it would be nearly impossible to permit and build a bulk cargo facility on Bellingham's waterfront. So there's a new technology, they're called rotainers, and they're cargo containers with a sealed lid. So the bulk commodity comes in a sealed container, either on truck or by rail, and then is taken, put over the ship's cargo hold, and dumped in directly. So you touch the cargo less times. A lot of the bulk facility shipping terminal locations, they're very old. It's expensive infrastructure to keep up. So we think this is a good alternative, especially for the amount of space. Next slide. Here's an example of that technology. There is nobody in the United States yet using this. Vancouver is using this up at their port, but nobody in the United States. We would like to be the first.
Is that automated or longshore operating?
That's longshore operated. So it's the only equipment needed to really implement this is those grapples that we would need for our crane. We already have the crane. And that's longshore work. I'm going to get into the longshore jobs in a few slides. So next slide. Here's the cleanup projects. So that second part of the goal was to clean up, of the five goals was to clean up historical contamination. So you can see 24 and 25, that's what we're currently working on. 2016, we've already done. I think if you hit next slide, we're going to hit a video. You can see all the way up the walkway and then next cleanup is further up to the head of the walkway, where it says future cleanup. So you can see the scale. It's huge jobs and projects and millions of dollars. And we are getting some cleanup dollars from MACA. As you know, those come and go. Next slide. Connecting everywhere. So as I mentioned, we received that rail grant. We're in the very early stages of rail planning. So trying to get out, talking about it, hearing people's thoughts, but there'll be much more to come on these projects. Next slide. Barge operations. We received a federal grant for a portable barge ramp, which is utilized, you can see down there on the left, the white lettering, kind of over by the Hannah. That Marine Highway program is a federally funded program trying to encourage West Coast movement of cargo, which means removing trucks from I-5 and using the waterways to move cargo. This one doesn't come across screen. Do you guys have screens? No, you're looking up there. So this, we're going to go through the next few slides fairly quickly because it's 2026 through 2029, I think. Shows you the type of cargo potential. It's hard to see from here. The green numbers kind of in the middle are, I think it's, can you read me those? The top, underneath the, so it's
1.0 million?
Yeah.
1,200? 2.5 million.
So 2.5 are the port fees that would be. The 1,200 are jobs, longshore jobs, is how it's labeled under there. And then the other number, 1.04, is the wages. And that would be associated with these types of cargo. So we're just basically showing, hey, here are the jobs that are created. This is really just the direct impacts, doesn't account for the we worked on this study with Western's economic development team.
You're thinking 1,200 more jobs by 2026, or is that like the 2029?
So you can see that 2026, that's we're projecting, we're being super optimistic that we're going to keep our projects moving forward. And so then if you go to the next slide, you'll see how it increases. And this presentation is available on our website, because I know it's a lot of information, but available on our website, and I'll send the link to council if they would like, because there's a lot of questions may be generated once you take time to look through it.
Is there already the demand that this capacity is needed for? Is there specific cargoes that there's already demand for this capacity?
So what we know is we know that we will never be Vancouver, nor do we think the community wants us to be, or Seattle, Tacoma. I don't think that's probably a good fit for Whatcom County. But what we do know is those terminals are very congested. And so what we think we can be is sort of a niche port, if you will, and take some of those overflows. For instance, over this last year, we have had an opportunity for ships who were going to Vancouver, but they're sitting out waiting in the bay, which costs them money. And so they come to Bellingham to lay berth and either clean their holds or provision, and that there are jobs associated with those as well.
So there are ships that are coming here to kill time until it's their turn in Vancouver, mm-hmm. and we could be unloading here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, you can go to the next slide. I'll just kind of go through these. But the big point is that when you see those port fees, that's what we get to reinvest into our other infrastructure projects. And we know there's a need in Blaine. So, next slide. Okay, ensure climate resiliency, that's part of our goal. Obviously, we're cleaning up that contaminated sediment that's been there since GP left. We're working on advanced stormwater management. That was really one of the challenges with ABC, that obviously that cargo was outside, there is stormwater. When that facility was built, there were not stormwater regulations. And so we were working with what we had, but recognizing that in today's current regulatory environment, the infrastructure needs to be upgraded. And so we are currently installing that as part of that $49.5 million project. And that's really the end of my presentation, but I'm happy to answer questions about this in particular or anything else.
Okay. Did you say something, was it 2.5? How many million in fees you would anticipate, 2.5 million?
I think it starts at 2 million and goes up to 6 or 8 million.
And would that money be paying back the $49 million?
$49 million.
Grant?
There's some grant money associated with that. Yep.
It's great. Go, go, go.
Thank you. Appreciate it. What we're looking to the community to do is we recognize that when we're having the challenges with the shipping terminal, people just didn't have a full understanding. So look at your support. Please come down and tour. We'd love to show it off. We currently are, maybe have heard or maybe not, but Granite Construction will be operating out of the yard that's just north of the shipping terminal, and then shipping barging aggregate from that terminal. We also are receiving wood chips currently from Sierra Pacific, so one of our warehouses is full of wood chips, definitely smells like a Christmas tree, and they'll be barging those out probably by the end of the month. So that's a bit of activity that we can use to sort of reinvest. Anything else?
All right.
much.
Thank you.
All right, we will go on recess until 6 p.m.